Welcome to the Dogs and Deadlifts, Building Better Dogs and People podcast. Join your host, Daniel Rose, as we discuss everything canine and human strength and conditioning. We talk to experts, hear from people in the know, and just talk the latest on strength and conditioning for both people and their pups. We are about building better dogs and people. Are you looking for the perfect gift for you or a friend that loves dogs and fitness? Dogs and Deadlifts has you covered with merchandise and giftware, including t-shirts, hoodies, cushion covers, mugs, plus much more. Head over to teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. That's teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. Or check out the link in the podcast notes.
So welcome back to the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. Today we have all the way from the USA, CEO and founder of X-Dog, Stan Smith. Welcome, Stan.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me on. I thank you for waking up really early. And of course, man, pushing this mission forward of, you know, having a healthy and fit dog. I mean, that's super important.
Yeah, not a problem at all. I was just saying, I just had my coffee here for the listeners out there. You know, it's just gone 5 a.m. Stan's agreed to come on, and I really appreciate that. So I make the time, make the effort, and we've got to, and I keep spreading the word, man.
Yeah. You know, the mission's bigger than us, you know, so.
That's right.
Over one out of two dogs is either overweight or obese, you know, so it's got to be attested to something.
For sure. No, I agree. So look, before we get into, some of the juicy bits we've got planned to talk about, mate, can we, go back for the listeners out there that are not familiar with you and you know, the company, do you want to go back to, you know, and give us a little bit about your origin, about your story? Totally up to you. Like I said, how far you want to go back, whether you want to go back 2006, you know, about your nutrition, or you want to go back further.
Well, it initially started, man, when I was a little kid. As you obviously can see, I had lost my eye, right? And so I was playing on my father's car. I was about 3 years old. And back in the day when they had car antennas, I was sitting on the car, flinging the car antenna. It ends up hitting me in my eye, right? Yep. And so I didn't want to tell him. I was afraid of him. I didn't want to tell him I was playing on his car. So I kept it a secret. And, you know, my mom is from Vietnam, so she didn't speak English very well. And she knew something was wrong. So they had taken me to a couple of doctors, and they treated it as pink eye. And as they treated it as pink eye, they didn't realize after they went to, I think, like the fourth or fifth doctor, that is actually a blood clot. And so if they didn't remove the eye, I was going to get an infection in the brain. Well, where that links me back to dogs is, you know, I grew up, you know, biracial, being in a small town that's predominantly white, pretty racist, you know, and we weren't very wealthy, but I had this dog and I just bonded with dogs, you know, not being very wealthy. Dogs didn't care how much money I had. They didn't care, you know, what type of clothes I had, what race I was. They just showed me how to love, and they loved me unconditionally. When you're dealing with, you know, as a kid being insecure, you deal with a lot of things growing up. And so, as I went into and, you know, went through all those troubling times growing up, everybody deals with hardships. So I don't want this to be like some pity party, but you go through these hardships and these trials and you don't know, you know, what direction you're going to go in life. And you get in high school, you know, my father, he started raising these king pigeons, which is basically a man-made pigeon. It's about 40 ounces. And he was really big on like different color dilutions and recessives and just creating different colors because it's a man-made bird. Yep. And so from there, I kind of knew structure. Like I had a good eye for structure and phenotypes within the birds. And in the king pigeon, it's short beak, big head, broad chest, short back, tight feather. And when I finally could, you know, got out of high school and I went to college and I left and moved down to Dallas, which is this area where my parents were divorced. I found myself being able, like, as soon as I could get a dog, I was going to get a dog because I could afford a dog, right? And so I got into the American Bullies because I was actually in the music industry for a long time. And so, you know, pit bulls, bull breeds, American Bullies, you know, like they went very well with the music industry. And so I got into the American Bullies. And it was the same thing, you know, short muzzles, broad heads, big chest, short back, stuff like that. And one thing led to another, man. You know, I was I was doing things in the streets that I wasn't supposed to be doing. End up catching it, you know, a felony. And I knew, like in the game, the bully game, there was a couple products out there but the number one question was, how do you build muscle? How do you add weight? How do you add mass to these dogs? Yep. And at the time, I was living out of my car as a single father. I was parked in front of my mom's house here. And because, you know, I was hustling, making a lot of money, doing all these crazy things. And all of a sudden I got home, right? Like everything was taken away. All the so-called friends who were supposed to be your friends, I know they're no more because you don't have nothing to offer your value. And I was sitting in the car and I was just like, man, I got to make this phone call. So I made a phone call to this manufacturer, which is one of my partner manufacturers now. And I got the daily multivitamin, which is called the True Beast in Show right now. It was back in the day, it was called Best in Show. Yep. But there was a training treat out there on Amazon that wasn't selling and they took the name. So in a transition to True Beast and Show. Mm-hmm. And I was able to white label like 30 bottles, you get two free. And, you know, being in the music industry, what we did back in the days was we had mixtapes, we throw them in the back of our trunks, we'd go to show, pop the trunk and sell. Well, I took that same philosophy and I went to a dog show, a bully show. I popped my trunk and in 30 minutes, I knew I was sold out. I was like, oh, I got something here. You know, my back is against the wall. So I you know, as anything, you compound it, you double the order, you do it again. And then I was like, I asked the manufacturer, I was like, you think you can make me a weight gainer? And they're like, oh yeah, we have weight gainers, right? So I talked to the PhD biochemist up there and the nutritionist, and we just sat down and they created me a weight gaining formula that would work well with dogs. Mm-hmm. And that's when it kind of really took off. Now we got into about 2012, we started competing. There's another company out there. I won't say their name, but they were leaving bad reviews and stuff like that and getting people to leave bad reviews. So I wasn't able to do anything on Amazon. And then my business partner now, Mr. Stephen Cortez, he was doing mixtape covers. So he was in the music industry doing mixtape covers. And one day, you know, he was doing like a lot of my website stuff for MVP Canine Supplements. And he's like, man, I really want to sell something on Amazon. I was like, ah, well, I got an idea, right? And I said, I got this brand idea called Muscle Bully. And I said, why don't you just partner up with me on that? And let's see how we did. Well, the first year out the gate, man, on Amazon, we did 250,000. I was like, oh, that's what I learned about the value having people who strengthen your brand and can help your vision come together.
Yep.
And during that time, man, I was looking for a way to develop a weight vest because there's a couple weight vests out there on the market, but there's just things I didn't like about them. You know, like they're overweighted, they had weight on spine, they had other issues with them that I didn't really like because everybody could make them, you know. And so I was like telling Steven, I was like, man, we can find a manufacturer to make us this weight vest idea that I have. I said, I think we can really make an impact, you know? And he, after me searching for 7 years, not being able to find one, he sends off one email and now we have a manufacturer. He finds one. Like how the hell did that happen? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So in 2016, we started, 2016, we had started designing it. We created our first prototype. Then I got with a guy by the name of Derek Rose over here. He owns Dallas Canine. He's kind of like a big in the Malinois and PSA and stuff like that. And I was like, if we're going to create this product, I want to really get the honest feedback from some world-class trainers, handlers, people like Clay who deal with dogs and are going to give you the honest truth. Like this product is good or this product is great. Or if you would want to improve the product, this is what I would suggest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're talking about putting dog minds together who literally have decades and decades of experience in dogs, it gives you such a competitive advantage over the market, because when you think about the market, people don't understand, like when they do clinical studies and for dog food, for example, like I could go rent 10 Labradors and have them run around a 3-mile circle, right, for a college kid's project and pay them $60,000, right, and use all this capital. For somebody who doesn't even hardly deal with dogs, they're doing it as something for college, you know, they're doing an article for college or something like that. And I was like, I'd much rather have the information and honest feedback from real dog men and women who really compete dogs, you know, and really understand dogs. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. And it was kind of crazy. We created our first batch, and that story was bananas. And this goes down the rabbit hole of dealing with trials and tribulations of quality and just spending that extra dollar on quality, because our first batch of vests, we had probably maybe, I don't know, 500-600 of them pre-ordered at that time. And then as soon as we got them in, they were already behind 30 days. We get them out to the customers, customer all excited. And next thing you know, the next day we're getting email after email after email how vests were falling apart because they weren't stitched very well. Mm-hmm. And so we had to take the rest of our inventory, go find, people who make suits and stuff and sew seamstress and stuff like that. And we had to pay that $5-6 extra per vest to go, you know, to go get them sewn correctly, and which is a pain in the ass. And when we could have just spent an extra $2-3, you know, with the manufacturer and just made it, but it was a learning curve. And then that's pretty much it. You know, we scaled, I went from MVP canine supplements, and then I created Muscle Bully because they're just two different markets, and of communities. And then, I got into raw feeding, and, that's when we launched Earth Vet in 2015. And, we just created this melting pot of different communities, and to the point where we're at now, where we're on our version 3, designing version 4. We got our design patent on March 18th in 2020. We have a utility patent pending on the vest. And then in addition to, we have multiple design patents on the version 3 and version 4. So if that's a little bit of information, short story. You know,
For sure. And super exciting, you know, and you've just obviously jam-packed a lot in a short period of time, but we're going to, you know, hopefully break each element down very shortly, you know. The thing that I suppose jumps out and aligns to me, you know, and we'll talk about it now, is, you know, one of Dogs and Deadlifts main pillars is, you know, nutrition, you know. So and I wanted you to talk about your mission and you know how important that is, and you know, break that down. Like you mentioned raw feeding, I'm a huge advocate for raw feeding as well. Break that down, because that for me, like, yeah, you know, we've got exercise, which is a fitness contributing factor to, you know, addressing canine obesity. However, you know, in my opinion, it starts with nutrition.
Yeah, it always starts with nutrition. It starts from the gut.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, gut is everything, right? It's the second brain to the body.
Yeah.
And so the more I became consciously aware about the importance of raw feeding, I think it's just, we're starting to see a transition in the industry where people are becoming more consciously aware about their health. And they're going, oh, our dogs are being fed shit. You know, like when you think about kibble, right? And certain brands of kibble, they're either here in America, I don't know over there, but here in America, they're either owned by Mars, Nestle, or Hill Science, right? And most of 95 to 90% of the vet clinics here in the United States are also owned by, you know, Hill Science, Mars, and Nestle. And, you know, at the end of the day, for them, it's about shelf life. If we're going to invest, because people don't understand, like when you're coming out with a dog food, because we have a kibble, and I'll tell you, I'll get into that in a little bit. But the thing with dog food, it's all about shelf life. They want shelf life. And so when you're talking about coming out with dog food, you know, especially on that level, I mean, just to even get bags down to a right price point that they're even affordable, you've got to get them down to about, you know, you got to get 100,000 bags, and that's maybe $2 to $3 a bag. Now you're looking, you're 300,000 in, taking a chance when you're launching a business, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about the most competitive market in all departments of pet in the pet industry. And then you're also talking about the thinnest margins, right? And so it's just one of those things where I was like, well, we're not going to come out with a dog food, so let's create products that will enhance dog food. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is we started educating our clients on how to supplement. And supplement doesn't mean steroids. It doesn't mean, you know, muscle builder. Supplement could be supplementing fresh food into your current kibble to raise the nutritional value of kibble. Because as we all know, they cook kibble 5 to 6 times, right? Mm-hmm. They reduce all the nutritional value out of it, out of the ingredients. And then you got people going, well, I don't believe in supplements. I believe in all natural ingredients. And you go, well, look on the back of your bag. Your kibble is infused with supplements, right? To increase the nutritional value. So the marketing campaigns that dog food's had for the last few decades is, as long as it says natural, as long as it says science on it or something like that, on that terms, that it's actually healthy. And it's a misleading fact, you know? And so with social media and social media networks, we're able to now bring that knowledge and education in massive ways around the world to where now people are becoming more aware. So with our supplements, the things that we do different with our supplements now, me and Steven, we had sat down and we're like, hey, we got to come out with quality products. So when it comes to supplements and people get, when it comes to the pet food industry, you either, your product falls under feed, right? Which is regulated by AFCO, yep. Or it falls under low dosage drug, which AKA supplement, which is an ingredient that AFCO doesn't recognize as an essential nutrient, right? Yep. Because one, it's probably going to cost too much and drive the price point up, right? Or two, there's just, it doesn't fit. They just don't recognize it as an essential ingredient. And so when we created our supplements, for example, I go, okay, I want to create a product, right? Let's say, for example, our muscle builder performance, you know, it has colostrum, DMG, and creatine in it, plus a multitude of different amino acids. Mm-hmm. But that's all that matters when it comes to the labeling guidelines here in the US, as far as what are the active ingredients, which means I could base it with wood pulp or sugar or maltodextrin. But I said, no, even though these are not going to be considered active ingredients, let's base it with beef bone broth, collagen protein, MCT powder, these superfoods, right? And then what we're going to call them is bulking binding. Those are the type of fillers or flavoring agents that we use. So When people use our products, they go, okay, I'm getting the benefits of creatine, DMG, colostrum, and the aminos, but what also they're getting is a shot of healthy fats and a shot of high quality protein, but it's not listed in the nutritional facts. And so it gives us such a competitive advantage over those who are cutting corners and not willing to do that, to spend that extra $1 or $2, yeah, you know, to make a higher quality product. And so that's the direction we went on nutrition. And of course, you know, educating people on raw, when it comes to our training treats, I go, okay, if we're going to come out with the training treat, let's come out with the most nutritious training treats possible. Well, what's that? Organs, right? I like organs. So beef liver, this year we launched green buffalo tripe, and it's hard to get green tripe, and we created these freeze dried products, right? That, one, you get the nutritional value that raw offers, but you get sustainable shelf life and normal conditions. This is, you know, household conditions. You don't have to have it refrigerated at all. And so, what freeze dried has helped us do is, you know, a lot of everyday dog owners are afraid of raw feeding. Mm-hmm. And so how do we get people inspired about raw feeding? Well, again, remember, it goes back to the kibble. A lot mm-hmm. of people, a lot of our clients, they come out with a kibble. So we're like, okay, let's come out with a kibble, Trubies. Okay. Let's figure out what market, you know, how can we make our product niche? Okay. Mm-hmm. So one, let's make it the highest calorie per cup. Right now, we have True Beast that ranges between 572 and 578. Well, people go, Stan, there's dog foods out there that are in the 600s. And I go, okay, cool story. Mm-hmm. What do they start with? Meal. Yep. Well, we start with meat, right? And it's not so much what's in it, it's what's not in it. We don't have corn, soy, wheat, peas, or potatoes. Mm-hmm. And so we use a low and gentle heating process. We do crafted. And they're like, well, Stan, you feed raw. Why would you produce a kibble? Well, I produce the kibble to open conversation, because when I say, they ask me what I feed, I say, well, if you feed kibble, you can start out with this product, right? Yep. Again, higher calorie means you feed less, means reduced inflammation in the stomach, because now you don't have a stomach full of processed kibble, right? Yep. Then you go, here, try some of this organ and this beef flavor and this, some of these freeze-dried toppers we have. Like, we just launched a bone and organ supplement, freeze-dried topper. And then their dogs go crazy over it, because you got this saturation of flavor with no water in the meat. And so it's just literally like a bouillon cube to a dog when it comes to flavor. Yep. And so now they start opening up their minds to more raw feeding, you know, more fresh foods and stuff like that. And so that's why we did it there. And so when it comes to, you know, X-Dog and nutrition, we try to create products that are unique to the industry, but also stuff that we would feed our own dogs and offer to our own clients and friends, you know?
Yeah, awesome. And I love it, because it's currently, you know, potentially meeting clients where they're at right now. Yeah. Like, you know, another, you know, a good friend of mine who was just on the podcast, you know, she has a raw feeding Facebook group with nearly 60,000 people, you know, mainly Australians in it. Yeah. But not everyone is ready to go what I call cold turkey and stop buying that kibble this week, you know, there's obviously a process of transition, but you know, they don't just go, I'm going to stop kibble today and I'm going to go to raw feeding tomorrow, you know? So, mm-hmm. you know, I love it that, you know, potentially, you know, you're opening the door, you know, for them to, you know, for them to start transitioning slowly on a better product, you know, and then look, the end game is raw. Yeah. You know, for me, you know, for me, the end game is raw. And that's, you know, that's the, but there's a few gates or doors we need to go through with the general consumer to get them there. You know, sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. And that's the beauty about it all. It says, you know, like over here, and this could be a rumor and I don't know, but I hear that Purina actually has a raw feeding line that is sold in Australia, but they don't sell it over here because if they launch that over here and they educate people over here, you're talking billions and billions of dollars of potential loss because the shelf life is just not there, you know, and it's not sustainable.
Yeah, for sure. And we're seeing, you know, we're seeing a trend. I'm definitely seeing a trend. And, you know, when was that? 2 years ago, I took some time and I went and worked as an assistant manager at a big pet store. And, you know, locally, I worked there for 6 months just to gauge an understanding of the consumer's mindset around their feed and what they're looking for, you know, what questions they had. Yeah, so I worked there for 6 months and I was just taking notes after notes and getting a good understanding that at the end of the day, they just don't know, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, all their vet sends them in, you know, perfect example, you know, like we've got a kibble here that is very, very cheap, full of fillers, but it's got a very prominent vet on the front cover, right?
Yeah.
He's a celebrity vet. He's on TV, etc. And, you know, vets just, you know, sending clients in to get that kibble. And I'm just sort of whacking my head against the wall because it's just rubbish, you know, but it's cheap, you know, and there's no nutritional value whatsoever in that particular product, but it's one of the biggest sellers in that particular pet store that I worked at, you know. And I just, you know, but, you know, doing my bit in that, you know, taking notes, getting an understanding, and therefore, you know, bringing it back to the podcast to try and help educate people, you know, on those questions that they had, you know, and there's lots of misinformation, misguided. And like I said earlier, people just don't know what they don't know, you know?
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. We're competing against vets, you know, like, oh, you know, over here, when you think of veterinarian, you think of safe, right? You think they're going to offer you proper information, but it's just like big pharma in a way, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like they don't make money off healthy dogs. Mm-hmm. That's just the bottom line, you know. Yeah. They just don't make money off healthy dogs. Yeah. And it, you know, it's going to take a while, and it's going to take people like you and mm-hmm. people like me mm-hmm. to create these platforms to help educate people, and it's going to take a long time, you know. It's just is what it is, but we're taking the necessary steps to move forward and creating the products to showcase the difference, you know. And we're getting the right endorsements from the right influencers. Right now, we're in that influencer era. So you're getting all these people who have millions of followers on social media platforms who go, oh, they really care about their dogs. And, you know, and you got companies like that are creating different healthier products like freeze dried, dehydrated. They got stuff called Unkibble. It's basically freeze dried and hydrated. And they're starting to push real meat and meat as an ingredient and the importance of organ and just different, you know, different types of, you know, fruits and vegetables in some cases that some people feed, you know. I don't personally feed fruits and vegetables, but, you know, I know the importance of feeding, you know, organs and meat and bone. And so, and I don't think people talk enough about the, you know, doing raw wrong. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, have the misconception of how raw should be too. It ain't just about feeding a leg cord or just burger and stuff, you know, like, and when you do it wrong, it could be a nightmare. They don't talk about, you know, the cages getting blown up with diarrhea and stuff like that, you know, and transitioning correctly. And so when someone goes through that it's very discouraging, you know? And so, and I think the raw feeding community also needs to do a better job. And I've mentioned this a multiple of times where it's like, you got to be more open to people coming in and asking questions and not making them feel ignorant. You know, it's almost kind of like a pissing contest where you get in there and they're like, you post up, hey, I started feeding raw. And you know, that individual's doing it wrong. But instead of pulling to the side and say, hey, you know, that's great that you're about to transition to that. Here's some things you want to do. Here's some education. They're like, they identify what they're doing wrong, make fun of them and discourage them. Yep. And so as raw feeders, man, we also have to be aware of that and say, hey, these guys are trying to transition. They're trying to do something better and provide their dogs with something healthier. And we need to guide them instead of judge them. And I think social media is, I mean, that's a place where it's tough because those mm-hmm. platforms are just full of people judging people, you know? And so I don't know. That's my two cents on that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, I agree. And, you know, you know, as I mentioned earlier about, you know, if people, you know, if I can send a link to a podcast link to one, you know, I still do behavioral consults, you know, obviously my business is primarily conditioning and fitness, et cetera, but I still do, you know, your puppy consults and, you know, behavior consults, et cetera. And if I can send them a podcast link such as this and say, hey, have a listen to this before I come around, really want to focus, you know, on nutrition element, you know, and then we'll move into a number of other areas. You know, if they can take one little piece away from it and they can improve the quality of life of their dog, you know, and we can make progress in the training aspect, but they've changed in nutrition and, you know, some of the behaviors have decreased, like, whoa, I'm already winning.
Yeah. And that's another thing too. I mean, trainers are so important right now, especially being able to communicate with their, you know, a lot of people just don't know how to communicate with their dogs. And it boils back down to, it's just like, they don't know how to properly feed their dogs and they've been misguided and they've been miseducated. And, you know, the same thing with trainers, you know, being able to give dog owners the tool to be able to communicate with their dogs, because I mean, just having, I'm not a professional trainer by any means, but I have a huge network of professional trainers, and just being in their proximity, my ability to communicate with my pack has changed tremendously, you know? And so you got to be around some great dog minds, man. And, you know, as long as you start surrounding yourself around some great dog minds and you're willing to put in the work, you know, and you're going to build a better relationship and also build a better dog.
Yeah, for sure. And it's something that I've spoke to a few people about, and I'm like, dogs and deadlifts is not about training methodologies and equipment, you know, like I definitely stay well away from that subject in the content that I produce, because I do not want to get into that argument on what's, you know, whether it's, for example, positive only versus balance, tools, equipment, that sort of stuff. You know, I'm like, dude, you know, this platform, you know, and I've had talked to people, this platform is not for that. You know, let's talk about, you know, health, nutrition and fitness, you know, and I've had to, you know, put up some people like, dude, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But you know, but this is the direction that we're in, you know, and I'm like, it's all good. Like, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And that's what we're going to talk about shortly. You know, the opinion on raw feeding, the opinion on weighted vests, you know, like there's people out there with very strong opinions, but they, you know, we align ourselves with like-minded individuals that are on the same sort of goals, you know. And that's, you know, I know that that's when we talked about earlier, you know, the social media buddy can be tough at times in regards to that.
Yeah, you've got to be able to tune people out, you know. Like, that's one thing I had a hard time doing, because it's like, I had a hard time tuning people out. That's just me being self-honest, because you're fighting for a vision and something that you're created that you truly believe in. And it's just a weird, man. Like, these last 4 years, it's been really weird. You get people who jump on board, then you realize they jump off board. And next thing you know, and it's all for personal reasons. And then you start attracting these quality people. Mm-hmm. And now that's what we've gone to, you know. But a lot of people, they fall off. They, you know, like, as soon as they catch some pressure on social media, they tuck their tails and they submit, you know, and that's with any type of business. It's not just, you know, with just the pet industry. I've seen it in all types of businesses, because being in a part of entrepreneur groups, that's one of the things that I thought that it was important for me to keep going. Because I mean, when you get thousands of people who never met you and they say, they start passing on lies, making up stories, you know, you kind of go, holy crap, this is, you're dealing with cancel culture here, literally. Mm-hmm. But if you can endure it, you'll be surprised once you get on that other side, you know, what doors are going to open and opportunities. Now I go, you know, like, for every one person who was saying something bad about us, we had, you know, 100 people who we changed their lives and impacted a lot of solving their issues. And I think that's what, you know, with any product, when you think about products, what problem does it solve and how can, you know, how well can you solve it? And, you know, we realized that the X-Dog vest is just more than a weighted vest. You know, when I created the product, it was to sustain the high energy levels of my staffy. Like, I couldn't do anything to satisfy him, whether it was running him 5 miles a day or, you know, like it was bananas. And so, with that vest, it just enhances every movement. You know, when we talk about it, cool, it's great. You put it on, you know, a dog, as soon as you put the vest on, the dog is immediately employed, right? And so if you don't have time to exercise your dog, well, do you have 30 seconds a day now? Because, you know, that's how long it takes to put the vest on and take it off. Well, you got to do more than just put the vest on. Well, of course you got to do more. But let's just say you're a high-level trainer like yourself or Clay, mm-hmm. they utilize it to enhance whatever they're currently doing. It is a fitness and enhancement harness. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and it is a tool. And so whoever utilizes the tool, you know, is going to get, you're going to yield a different result. When we went out to, I went out to the Dog Psychology Center over at Caesars Milan's, you know, most of my clients and our client base were either utilizing the tool to build muscle, improve top line, improve overall performance. But they use it, the dog behaviorists used it as a tool to slow the dog down. Mm-hmm. And so they would put they put weight on the shoulder and one weight in the back. And I was watching these dogs having these behavior issues of lunging and pulling on a leash. Now they're like kind of off balance going, oh, I got to work now. I got to think about this. And their behavior issues were addressed. And it was like, okay, so this now they're using it as a psychological tool. Yep. We have a school called ACES, which is Animal Chiropractic School here in Texas, and they utilize it, the tool, to rehabilitate dogs, mm-hmm. you know, from injuries. Yep. And so, you know, when you talk about the common issue of dog obesity, which leads to a lot of other health related issues, we want to be that company that eliminates dog obesity by inspiring dog owners to exercise their dog and making a tool that makes it easy and convenient and almost excuseless. Mm-hmm. And then, which we have, and now, but also help the dog owners who compete at the highest level and give them a competitive advantage with a fitness tool. And so, we also realized how great of an anxiety tool it was. And mm-hmm. it was one of those things where you're combining compression with weight, right? But then mm-hmm. you're also, now you're incorporating exercise, which releases those endorphins, those feel-good chemicals and pain relievers, right? Neurotransmitters. Yep. Yep. And then the dog now looks at the vest and goes, that's positive object association. So people have to hide the vest because the dog gets so excited because they, we're going to go do something fun. We're moving forward, which releases the other chemicals, you know, like dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin. And that recipe of, you know, compression plus weight plus exercise plus positive object association is a tremendous recipe to deal with dogs who are dealing with anxiety and stress. And so it's just one of those things where it's like, dogs are, you know, people are like, man, my dog's tearing up the house, and they don't want to kennel the dog, or their dog has the zoomies and they're going crazy around the house and just being completely destructive. You know, a lot of that has to do with just pent up energy. So as soon as you put the vest on, the dog's employed now. Yep. And he's working. And you know, again, it's a tool. It's not like we're saying, hey, replace spending quality time and training with your dog. Mm-hmm. We're saying if you need something to enhance it or shorten that period, or, you know, improve your daily regimen with your dog, that the X-Dog Vest can help with that. And you know, we started transitioning, like, we asked ourselves the question, who has the biggest problem? It's the everyday dog owner who's having the biggest issues with dog obesity, right? Yep. And so we knew we had to ally with some really inspiring people. And, you know, I think Caesar is one of the most inspiring, and a lot of, you know, when it comes to trainers, you know, some people agree with the training methods, some people don't. We weren't looking at it like that. We were looking at how can we hit the everyday dog owner and who's going to make the most impact. And, you know, we have trainers like, you know, yourself and Clay and stuff like that, who are open-minded and they're very well respected in dog protection sports and working dogs and stuff like that, also endorsing it, you know? And so, our goal isn't to debate about, you know, what training methods are best, or our goal is to eliminate dog obesity. And yeah. we need, in order to climb that mountain, we need an army of great dog minds of mm-hmm. all sorts, of all walks of life, yeah. you know? And so that's what we're trying to do right now. And I believe that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. You know, and, you know, I just wanted to talk about briefly the evolution, you know, of the vest and design and things like that, just quickly. You know, obviously, you know, I've got a version one, you know,
yeah,
you know, and like you said, you know, you're looking at, you know, you're in just about to finish off potentially version four. You know, can you talk about the evolution, and then, you know, we'll sort of answer a couple of the questions about the design and things like that, but how's the evolution from one to now progressed?
Well, it's progressed a lot because, you know, we initially started out with 5 sizes and now we have 12 sizes with a potential 13th size. Mm-hmm. And all these sizes were inspired based off putting vest on different bodies. You know, it just takes time. Like, you know, there's so many different body phenotypes and body types and breeds when it comes to dogs. Like, it's virtually impossible to create a product that's just going to fit every single dog. Right. Yep. And so, you go through these trials and tribulations and people who, you know, certain things weren't going very well, like D rings were not staying on because, you know, there was just issues with people using the dog, the harness as a pulling harness, or they were using the harness as a walking harness. And, you know, we don't recommend that. Yep. And so again, it goes back to education and just getting that feedback and going, okay, how can we address this issue, but also improve the product? You know, so we went through this time and era where, you know, people are saying it impedes movement, right? And they're like, okay, we don't believe that, but what can we do to put that debate to rest? Well, let's add elastic bands. So great, now we combine weight resistance with resistance band training. Mm-hmm. And that's a new evolution and it's never been done before. Yeah. We took plastic clips and now we added Cobra buckles. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the accessories, for example, you know, we had the parachute attachment, right? Yep. Well, a lot of the mouths and shepherds were popping it because of the torque, you know? Yep. So we go, well, how do we solve that problem? Well, let's make it a dual drag. Let's add a resistance band to the strap. And so when the dog runs, it'll slowly drag. And as fast as they run, the drag increases. Let's add ripstop material. Let's add metal swivel clips, you know, and stuff like that. And so the evolution it's just been inspired. And I think, you know, from just putting it on so many different dogs, we've ordered over, I think we're at 50,000 vests total of inventory of what we've ordered. So when you're putting it on, let's say even half of that, 25,000 dogs, for example, it gives you a different perspective. You know, it gives you just a completely different perspective on how a vest should fit. And with the version 4, we've added an additional resistance strap that goes right across the shoulder right here. For the broader shoulder dogs, like the bullies and the American bulldogs and stuff like that. And it's really cool because, you know, you go through these different transitions and evolutions, you improve the vest overall. Oh, in addition, version 1 doesn't have warming and cooling gel packs.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we've added those and, you know, educating people on how to properly use those. And it was really cool is that we're getting dog owners who compete in like dog sports going, man, like having those gel packs in, I didn't realize I could work my dog out another 20-30 minutes longer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that makes a difference, you know, and it just gives those owners competitive advantage. But I think we've talked about it prior to even coming on the podcast, the importance of just education. Mm-hmm. education. Just because we know it and we think it and what we see and what we believe doesn't mean the everyday dog owner does or an individual does. Mm-hmm. And you know, making sure that people are not ego weighting the vest, you know, like when you're doing high velocity training, like any type of sprint work and jumping, you don't need, even on a well-conditioned dog, you don't need over 5% of the dog's body mass, you know, and you want to gradually work up to that. On low impact movement, like controlled leash walks, OB training, you don't want to exceed 10%, anything you can control. But again, you're gradually working up to that. I think a lot of people, even though we haven't had any reports of any dogs being injured, like I haven't had any reports, which is kind of miraculous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, you get people challenging you and they're like, hey, well, is it, now that we can't say none of that, is it orthopedic approved? Well, mm-hmm. It's not a corrective brace, you know, like that's not what it's designed to do. But all I do know is that 26,000 dogs are reported every year to get injured by a leash and collar, and it's not orthopedic approved. So why are you using it? Yep. So are you off leashing your dog? No, they're not off leashing. Dogs are using the leash and collar, you know, it's just, you got to understand that it's a tool. Yep. And it's a tool, and how you utilize the tool is going to be important. If, you know, like your social media platform is a tool. And if you're a business owner, you got to know how to leverage it. You know, you're not going to take a hammer and try to screw in a screw, you know, like mm-hmm. you got to know what type of tool you have and how to properly use it. And so right now we're really focused on education. We've hired brand new videographers in here to help us make that vision come to life. And in addition to the evolution of bringing on influencers and trainers to come out with their own series of education on how to utilize the vest properly, because it is a new tool. I mean, let's just be frank. It's a new tool and we're going to need all the information back that we possibly get from actual people who are utilizing the tool.
For sure. And that's something that I wanted to point out, because I've had, I don't know, a number of people, you know, that have come to me recently and, you know, I've sat down with them and said, hey, you know, your high velocity training, they've overloaded the vest, you know, they've, you know, they're doing hill sprints with the over, you know, with an overloaded vest with yeah. not enough rest and recovery. So my philosophy is up to 5 minutes rest in between a high velocity sprint at once. Right. So, you know, depending on the dog, of course, you know, but, you know, getting the dog to do five high velocity hill sprints with an overloaded vest, basically until the dog is almost on the verge of, you know, heat stress and vomiting. You know, so that's right, because they just didn't know, right? You know, say, mm-hmm. hey, let's take some weight out and let's give the dog more rest and recovery time, because they need that. You know, I developed a modified Borg scale of rate of perceived exertion. You know, so you know, they understand their dog, and say, all right, let's just change things up a little bit, and then now you kick it. You know, 3 to 4 weeks later, you're kicking goals. You know, woohoo! You know, you're crushing it. But we had to make those adjustments. You know, and you know, I swear, my dick. I don't give a, you know, I don't care who's got bigger genitals, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy, you know. And it's another thing too, you know, people are like, you know, it's hard on joints. No, it's harder on joints if you misuse an ego weighted, but it can also add longevity to your joints, ligaments, tendons, because if you use the tool properly, you can increase the stabilizer muscles around those joints, ligaments, and tendons that protect mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And prevention is a big deal. There's a reason why Olympic athletes and professional athletes resistance train and weight train, mm-hmm. you know, specifically to prevent injury and to add longevity and ability to recover. But we also know that weight training also activates bone cells, which can strengthen bones. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's a reason why, you know, they especially older women, they suggest lifting heavy as they get older. And older people, because you want to activate those bone cells. And you know, it's just like anything else, everybody believes that they're experts, you know. Mm-hmm. But if they haven't utilized the tool, like if somebody's utilized the tool and they've given me some information, I'm going to take it more in than someone who's never touched the tool before in their life, or probably never been in the gym themselves in their life, or they don't live a healthy lifestyle. You know, it's like, man, you're on social media 24/7 stalking people's pages. I don't need to say anything to you. There's enough. We already know enough about who you are as a person. Yeah. And so, you know, instead you and I are doing stuff like this, you know, podcasting.
Exactly. And trying to educate, you know, and I've had a number of guests, you know, like I'm a big fan of drag work, you know, I just wanted to talk about that. Love drag work. We can, you know, certainly, you know, get, you know, that low impact, you know, depending on the dog's body weight, you know, we can build it from anywhere from 10 to 50% of the dog's, I say body weight, but you know, I think you referred to body mass. Yeah. You know, we can build that up, distance, etc. But you know what the biggest problem is with a weight pull harness, you got to wait 6 months to get one. Custom. Yeah.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah.
I might have a guy for you. I might have a guy for you.
I was speaking to Clay about it, right? And we're talking about some, you know, some custom weight pull harness manufacturers. And, you know, it's, you know, for instance, I know, you know, Jimmy Allen is just it's a one man show, you know, and it takes at the moment, it's got a huge wait list, you know, and some of the people stop taking orders unless you're a well-known or a, you know, potential champion, you just don't get weight pull harnesses from these guys. So for your average person, you know, your average pet owner to go, all right, I would like you to start resistance training. However, you know, you've got to wait 6 months before you can get a custom drag work harness. It's just not an option or not viable, you know? Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, we've got to meet the market where it's at, and, you know, we're going to get them started within, you know, really quickly while they're on that positive high.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things when we created this vest, that's what we told people, like, this is not a professional weight pulling vest, you know, like you can add we have a drag bag attachment that can weigh up to 30 pounds, you know, but it's not necessary. Like my staffy 10 pounds is more than enough for him, you know? And people are kind of surprised, but the thing is, it's also creating a tool that people ain't judging you. You know, you got some of those people in the weight pull harnesses, and they got like 30 foot of log chains, you can't just take that to the park, right? Without being judged. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll walk around the off-leash dog park.
Yeah. And so we, with this product, you know, you can throw the weight pull harness over it, or you can, some of them you can put under it, like on those bike during harnesses and stuff like that. And we wanted to kind of go down that lane. We tested the water a little bit, but we're like, you know, we got so much to focus on with the vest right now. Let's just focus on what we're great at in our lane. And, and let's work with people who are in the weight pulling community, which, you know, there was one year, I think, I mean, I had 10 guys that all finished in the top 10 and all weight classes and just murdering everybody. And those are the education that we were getting it from, you know, and they just, I built those relationships with them because I was producing supplements that were natural, that were giving them the competitive advantage in the education on it, you know? And so their dogs were performing better on day 3 and 4 in a lot of competitions than everybody else's dog, where they were falling off, you know? And so, and they could pass the piss test, you know?
Yeah,
and
for
so
sure.
That,
for sure.
That was important.
And then I've been experimenting lately, just while we're talking about, you know, there's only just a couple of studies out there, but they're, you know, about recovery. And I talked about it a few podcasts ago about, you know, whether carbs are, you know, carbs, fats, proteins after that exercise, or that, you know, getting that in within, you know, 15 to 30 minutes to, you know, to get that recovery started, and therefore, you know, potentially compete, you know, over, you know, compete longer, but back to back over a weekend, you know. So it's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, those particular supplements are assisting with that.
Yeah, we have a new muscle build. We have a muscle building tablet right now, but we're coming out with a muscle builder chew. We should have it this week. Mm-hmm. And it's just a chew that, you know, has DNG, creatine pure, collagen protein, and also colostrum in it. And you just give one of those in between pulls or in between, competition. And it's just, it helps with recovery tremendously, because when you talk about, when you think about like something like creatine pure, creatine, and something like, you know, DMG, where it reduces the oxygen utilization efficiency within the muscles, and that you reduce that lactate buildup, and the dog's not taking that stuff, it just, they're competing at a disadvantage. It's just the bottom line.
For sure. Yeah. No, look, I agree. So, you know, in your opinion, like you said, you know, you've got some awesome things happening at the moment, you know, it's exciting times, but, you know, I just wanted to get where were you, like, let's say 12, 18 months ago, where are you now? And where do you see yourself in another 2 to 3 years? How's things progressing?
Well, we're on our fourth year with the X-Dog Vest, and we've grown 100% every year.
Yeah.
And so as a company, that's great, you know, but now, we're here now. I think we're at a place where we have a really good shot at, I want the vest to be as common as a tool as a leash and collar in every household. Yep. And so that's going to take influencers. It's going to take world-class trainers. And it's going to take, you know, us continuing to educate people. And I believe, you know, I believe that's where we're going to be at in the next 5 years. I think we can be the Under Armour. We can be Nike. The dog fitness tool, you know, especially with the vest, you know, it's inspired people to exercise their dogs, you know. The power of the pack walk that with Caesar is a big deal. I didn't realize that community is a community I never tapped into before. And it was when I got there, I was like, holy crap, like this is home, you know, because they believe in the product tremendously, you know, they want to take that walk to the next level. They want to address behavior issues. They want to build that better relationship, communication with their dogs. You know, we've been in the community of dog sport and working dogs for a long time. They're smart, educated dog owners. They just are, you know?
Yep.
And the one thing that some of them don't have, or the majority of them have, they just don't know how to market themselves, you know? And that's why there's so much that they're always on social media giving their 2 cents instead of just building a platform. Now, some people who are not as educated as them as far as when it comes to dog, that are building platforms, and it's really pissing them off. And it's just like, well, you got to get out of your comfort zone, and you're going to realize that in order to reach people, you have to get out there. So right now we're building an army of, we're in a situation right now where we're going to be doing collabs and signature series vests and you know, partnerships, and being able to license the vest out, you know, because we have the patents on them and stuff. And and just continue to evolve. I think we got something in the works that I think, I don't want to speak on it now, but when I'm able to speak on it, I think it's going to be a game changer, you know, on how we're able to implement things in the vest. We built this culture where we're coming out with limited signature series. We can just put about any print on the vest. So people are now collecting them like crazy. We've got some clients that have like 15, every vest that came out, you know? And so that's cool too, to see, because if people, you know, look at that and they value their dog so much to where there's just like, when you think about a product, right? When you look at the vest, it's one of those products, as soon as the dog owner buys it, they go on social media and they got to show it off. And it's like, it's almost like a badge of honor. Like, I care more about my dog than you care about your dog, because I'm exercising my dog right now. And it's just this big billboard, this vest that, you know, and I've never seen a product that where people are just constantly posting it. And so I think that gives us a huge competitive advantage, and it's attracting really good people. And before, you know, it was about making money, I guess, you know, in the early stages, you know, as any business, but we start chasing purpose now and impact. Yeah. And when you start chasing purpose and impact, you start attracting these powerful people. The byproduct is success financially. But again, money is just a tool, you know? So how can we get more of that tool to spread the message even further and impact more people? Mm-hmm. And so that's our goal here, is to, you know, to keep scaling this thing up. And I'd like to see it in all major retails. I'd like to see it, you know, just about, you know, I don't know what you guys have over there, but, you know, we have Walmarts, Targets, you know, we just got hit up by Chewy. We're one of like 52 companies that they're going to onboard with us next year.
Yep.
And that's pretty inspiring. I think that's going to hit a lot of people as well. And, you know, hopefully we can make that happen. I, my vision and my end goal is to make this as common as a tool as a leash and collar. Yeah. And I believe that we can do it for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. I know that, you know, there's one particular company here, you know, we'll speak to the Aussie or the Australian viewers or listeners at the moment, but I know there's one particular company that does have a number of vests in stock here. You can buy direct off your website for us Aussies.
Yeah. Internationals, like it's a non-consumable good. So it's really, it's like shipping a sweatshirt or a hat or, you know, hoodie.
Yep.
So it's very easy to import stuff like that. And so,
Yeah. Awesome. I suppose on that note, Stan, is there anything you'd like to add? We'll wrap it up now, if that's okay. Obviously we'll talk about how people can find you and things like that, but is there anything that you'd like to add before we get finalize it?
Yeah, man. Hopefully, you know, we can inspire people to, man, spend more quality time with your dogs. You know, a lot of people get dogs, and hopefully we can, you know, bring you guys some value and continue to take the education. And, you know, power is knowledge, but applied power, it's applied knowledge is like a superpower, you know? And so continue to learn. Right now we're in an era where it's just, you can reach out to any type of dog trainer via social media. Yeah. Ask questions, bother them, bug them. Trust me, if they're good trainers, they'll talk to you, or they'll lead you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And just start applying it with your dogs. You're going to be surprised how much you can, you know, the relationship you're going to have with your dog, the less stress. And if you can add some years to your dog's life through nutrition and exercise, why not? You know, there's nothing more devastating than losing a dog. Yeah. I you know, it's just devastating to lose a dog. So.
You
know, that's it, man.
I agree. No, awesome. You know, fantastic chat, Stan. So if anyone wants to find more out about, you know, they listen to this and they're like, oh, this sounds cool. You know, what socials, website, do you want to just give those?
Real simple, @xdog and xdog.com.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it, man. Just if you Google xdog, Steven's probably got us on just about every front page of everything to do from way to best. But as soon as you probably type in xdo, you're gonna see us.
Yeah, awesome. And so, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Once again, thank you very much. I appreciate you know, finding the time to have a chat to you know, this I often refer to myself as just an Aussie guy trying to educate, you know. So, you know, I appreciate you know, being, you know, taking the time. I know that you got heaps going on, so you know, thank you very much.
No, man, thank you for bringing this on, man. But more importantly, man, thank you for what you're doing. You know, like you're not just a normal Aussie guy. you're a massive. You're what you're doing is massively impactful, and it may not seem like it's growing as big as you want it to grow now. But just you stay dedicated to it. I'm telling you, in 5 years, you'll be blown away.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. All righty. Thank you very much. So, guys, if you're out there, you liked what you heard today, please feel free to share, like, subscribe, and we'll bring you more Dogs and Deadlifts podcast real soon. Thank you, Stan.
Adios, man. Thank you.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for you or a friend that loves dogs and fitness? Dogs and Deadlifts has you covered with merchandise and giftware, including t-shirts, hoodies, cushion covers, mugs, plus much more. Head over to teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. That's teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. Or check out the link in the podcast notes.